The world is broken. And people are hurting. They're carrying years of past regrets, failures, and pain. They're lost in a fog of lies, disillusioned by what the world says is happiness. They've fallen into the trap of sin, desperate to become the good person they want to be, but powerless to change. Burdened, angry, and helpless. But when we, the church, the hands of Jesus, reach out to the heavy-hearted, when we, the feet of Jesus, run to the fallen, when we remove our insecurities and let the light of Christ shine bright in the darkness, God moves. Did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. And when we truly believe this, freedom is found. Minds are renewed, and hearts are healed. God moves when we step out in faith, when we let go of our time, our talents, and our treasure. God moves when we, the church, go all in.
Morning. Y'all made it. I'm excited to preach when people make it. And you all in Otsego, welcoming you all online. And we're wrapping up this series. Today's an 8-week series on homies. And last week we took a big left turn. And the big left turn was huge for us. Basically, the first 6 messages focused on different words. The first message was on focus. Our relationships go bad, not because we fall out of love, but because we fall out of focus. And we talked about honesty between husbands and wives. We kind of drilled deep then. Mercy was on raising children and everything that goes into that in this culture. Then serving, words, and selflessness was for all of us, young and old, married, single. But basically, these first 6 messages were about us. Our church family, your immediate family, which is cool. It was really awesome. But last week, we turned the corner and started talking about building relationships with those outside of our bubble. And the word was love. And we looked at Jesus. He was known as a friend of sinners. Now, when it says Jesus, a friend of sinners, that was a sarcastic statement that was put out by the religious leaders because they couldn't stand Jesus because he reached out to the lost. Those who were far from God. Jesus back then would never qualify to be a prophet, priest, or king in the organized church. They never would have asked him to be a pastor. He was way too radical. He had this love for people far from him. And we saw him with Matthew, where he approached Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, and Matthew's a tax collector, and tax collectors were despised by other Jews because they were Jewish themselves, tax collectors. They were hired by the Romans to collect taxes from their own people, and they would, over and above the tax, charge for money for them. They usually had a lot of money. They were despised by their own people. And Jesus, who's Jewish, walks up to Matthew and says, "Will you follow me? I want to be your rabbi." And Matthew drops everything and follows Jesus. Why? Because he saw within Jesus' eyes unconditional love. And that very next night, Matthew threw a party in his house when he still owned it, because they had to give it away, and he had a big house. And he invited all of his notorious sinful friends, all of his friends who were far from God, and he invited Jesus there with his disciples. Why? Because it's like, well, you show the same unconditional love that you showed to me, to my friends. And last week we talked about how Matthew's party said a lot about Matthew's heart. And people left here saying, man, I'm going to throw some parties like Matthew, to have relationships with people far from God, just talk to them, listen to them, learn from them, and then when the time comes, share the love of Jesus. How's your Matthew parties going? And so that was last week. Now the word this week's a little bit different. It's two words. I'm throwing you off. It's open doors. And we are going to have fun with this. We're going to start in the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there's seven churches. Revelation has a seven theme. Seven trumpets, seven horns, seven ways to do this, seven ways to do that. They have seven churches, and each one of these churches was a real church back then, and it's symbolic of our churches now. And I pray we're like the church of Philadelphia. I pray we're like that church. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Now, this word angel can throw you off. It's translated messenger. And so is he talking about a pastor, like a letter to the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, or a literal angel? And everyone has opinions. No one knows for sure. My opinion, it's actually an angel that God has assigned each church, an angel that kind of determines the DNA, prays for that, protects that church. And so write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. He is the one who has the key of David. He opens doors and no one can shut them. He shuts doors and no one can open them. So we're talking about God here. Does that make sense? And you would say, yes, thank you. You're engaged. Awesome. So this is God. So when he shuts the door, you can't open it. When he opens it, you can't shut it, because he's God. But then he says this. This is so cool. I know all the things you do, this church in Philadelphia, and I have opened a door for you that no one can shut. You have little strength. Now, when it says little strength, it doesn't mean they could, like the guys could bench press maybe 100 pounds and everyone in the church was double-digit IQ. It doesn't mean that. It means that they realized in light of God they had little strength. And so they were going to rely on God. You realize you have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. So the question is, what did they do that excited God enough to open up the door that no one can shut? What did they do? They lived up to their name, Philadelphia. They were a church full of love. Specifically, they received the blessings of God, and they would give the blessings of God away. And when you kind of are in the will of God, because that's God's will, when you kind of walk in that way and you receive his blessings, you give his blessings away, he's going to open up a door that, guess what, no person can what? Shut. Now, if you think this is like a unique, like it's a revelation, it's a unique, this is God's heartbeat right from the start. You see it in Revelation. We're going to go all the way to the book of Genesis. Because Genesis is the foundational book, the first book of the Bible. It's kind of like when you're laying shingles, that first row has to be straight. Your best shingle person is going to be the person who puts the first row. Because if the first row is straight, most likely the other rows will be straight. Does that make sense? And so all throughout Genesis, you see this whole idea of blessings. You can't make it up. The Lord God said to Abram, Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Excuse me, is the highlighted part clear? Just talk to me. Okay, so this is right from the start. Now he's going to, now he says, they might have missed it the first time. So I'm just going to kind of make sure. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now that's a different message. Okay, but that's in there. But here we go. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went. He like walked into that space. Like, we can do this. We are not done. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. So just say with me on three. We can do this. One, two, three. Ooh, that was strong enough. Didn't have to ask you to repeat it. And Otsego, did you say to Otsego, we can do this. This is the heartbeat of God right here. So he repeats himself four times. And God has a really good memory, but he realizes we don't. Check this out. Genesis 18. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. Boom. Genesis 22. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. You've walked through the door. Genesis chapter 26. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And lastly, Genesis 28. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I thank God wants his church to reach a lot of people. Does that make sense? You say, well, that's to Israel. Come on now, don't pull that on me. What about the Great Commission, Matthew 28? Jesus says, you know, I'm going to empower with my Holy Spirit, and I want you to go out and make disciples of all nations. This is the Great Commission. And so people, let's just talk straight here. I want to make sure we're on the same page. I'm sensing sometimes when I mention Summit 2030, that sometimes people get like a little bit perturbed because Summit 2030 is about we as a church helping and finding people far from God and then having 2,500 new believer baptisms. And people say, well, who do you think you are? Well, we don't think we're much. I mean, I'm not that much. But my God's big. He's huge. And the vision he's given us, it's not our, it's not like Summit 2030 is not our vision. It's a vision God's given. And it's so darn exciting. But here's what I've discovered. Let's kind of, you know, it's up there, Summit 2030, 2,500 new believer baptisms. For us as a church, it's up there. But how about if we say one person at a time? Say that, one person at a time. One, two, three. One person at a time. One person at a time. One person at a time. I love this lady, Linda Wilsa Allen. Let me just read up about her. This was in the San Francisco Chronicle. I want to meet her. She just looks nice. Look at that smile. Linda Wilsa Allen is a Metro Transit operator who loves the people who ride on her bus. She learns their names and waits for them if they're late and then makes up the time later on her route. A woman in her 80s named Ivy had some heavy grocery bags and was struggling with them, so Linda got out of her bus driver's seat to carry Ivy's grocery bags onto the bus. Now Ivy lets other buses pass her by at the stop so she can ride on Linda's bus. Can you imagine that on a day like today? 80. I'm waiting for Linda. She loves me. Linda saw a woman named Tanya in a bus shelter. She could tell Tanya was new to the area and was lost. It was almost Thanksgiving, so Linda said to Tanya, You're out here all by yourself. You don't know anybody. Come on over to Thanksgiving and kick it with me and the kids. I like that. Kick it with me and the kids. Let's just kick loneliness right in the face. Because that's what you need, some community. Linda has built such a little community of blessings on that bus that passengers offer Linda the use of their vacation homes. That's awesome. They bring her potted plants and floral bouquets. When people found out she likes to wear scarves and accessorize her uniforms, they started giving them as presents to Linda. Now think about what a thankless task driving a bus can look like in our world. Now, I'm reading this right out of the paper. Cranky passengers, engine breakdowns, traffic jams, gum on the seats. Then ask yourself, how does she have this attitude? Get this right here, right in the paper. Her mood is set at 2:30 a.m. in the morning when she gets on her knees to pray for 30 minutes. There's a lot to talk about with the Lord, says Wilson Allen, a member of Glad Tidings Church in Hayward. When she gets to the end of her line, she always says, "That's all. I love you. Take care." Have you ever heard a bus driver tell you, "I love you"? People wonder, where can I find the kingdom of God? And I will tell you, you can find it on bus number 45, riding through San Francisco. People wonder, where can I find the church? I will tell you, behind the wheel of a Metro Transit vehicle. Right there. One person at a time. We can do this. Okay. We can do this. You're joining us in Otsego. Michelle, if they're not, you get on it. You get them. Okay, guys. So we see Revelation, where God says, I'm going to open up a door. When I open it, no one can shut it. If I shut it, you can't open it. But I'm going to open it if you're following my ways. And that's by loving others, by specifically receiving who I am and then giving that love away. In the context today, and you see it in Scripture, is you receive my blessings, then you bless others. And then you see it right in the very beginning, that first row of shingles in Genesis with Abram and repeated four times. And then you have Jesus coming on the scene, and he sends out his 12 disciples to do the same thing. And then in Luke chapter 10, he sends out the other disciples. Now the Lord chose 72 other disciples. And I like that because it's not the 12. Because sometimes you can think, well, it's one of the 12 disciples. They're like special. No, this is not the 12 disciples. It's not the 11 who went to heaven. This is the 72 other disciples. People that were on the outskirts of Jesus listening to him saying, let's join what he's doing. And he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. And these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Which I love is he's in charge of the harvest, but it's almost as if he's not totally in charge of his workers. Like he wants us to choose to be his hands and feet. Where he says, I'm not going to force you to do this. What he's saying is here, is I want you to pray. And what he's really saying, not just pray, but I want you to be the prayer. We are the prayer for people. Have you figured that out yet? We pray, God, send more workers, pray for the harvest. God, I'm your prayer. And you just kind of look around in your daily life and look for needs to bless people, especially those outside the bubble and those in your bubble. Let's start blessing each other too. Why not, right? And here's what happens. This is the cool part. So Jesus, before he ascends to heaven, he says, it's going to be better for you that I leave. And they're all like, huh? Now you died for our sins, you resurrected from the dead, and now you're going to leave us? Yes, I'm going to leave you, but it's on your benefit, and you're going to do greater things than me, said Jesus. Well, how can that be? Because Jesus said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit in you, and you're going to be my hands and feet. He's going to speak to you through dreams and visions. He's going to speak to you as you study God's word. He's going to speak to you through other people. I am going to speak to you, says God, by by my Holy Spirit, and you just have to obey me and walk through those doors. And guess what? Most of those doors that he's going to open are for people who are far from God to meet him. It's called good news, the gospel, because it's the best news. It is the absolute best news. I was able to speak at a memorial yesterday. I didn't know anyone but two of the people. And the person I know said there's a number of people here who don't know the Lord. And I was able to share the good news with them. And the good news is this: Jesus died for your sins, and he will accept you right now the way you are. We are saved by grace, and we receive him by that grace. And then let Jesus begin to change that person into his own likeness. Don't you think Jesus would be better at that than me or you? To change someone into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Are you with me, church? And so the bottom line is, who are you? Who is God opening up a door for you to speak to and to love? And it's not always easy. And I've asked Amber to come up here. Amber, if you could please come up here and share with how God has... Well, it's just an incredible story. And I was actually, I had her type it out, and I was going to read it. Come on, right over here. And I was going to read it, and then I, of course, it read well, and then I said, I'm going to have her read it. And so, because she's a river of lifer. So, here you go.
Hi. Hey. Super excited to be up here. I just, like, get super humbled listening to just what you were even speaking about during the worship time and what you have to say, Dave, that we have a God who made everything and who's the God of all, and he will speak to us and allow us to be part of his blessings and his work, and if we just listen. So I have a story here. I should have asked Dave to type it in bigger print because I'm crying. Okay. I'd like to share a story of how God asked me to be a door for him to walk through and how I was able to see his glory through my obedience. A little background on me: I grew up in a small, reserved Catholic church and was taught about Jesus, and have known him my whole life. After high school, I went to college and then out into the world and pretty much drifted away from the church and kind of was living my life with God up on the shelf to pull him down when I needed him. Then in my mid-30s, I was reborn into the faith, and my relationship with Jesus deepened and became a personal one. And in 2015, about a year into my new faith walk, an acquaintance from high school contacted me through Facebook. His name was Chris, and he was a year older than me in school. We were never friends, really, and had no relationship at all, except for the fact that it was a very small school, so everyone knew who everyone else was. It had been 20 years since we'd been in school, and his message basically said, "How's life? I see your dad sometimes, and I hope all is well." And I responded with a short update on my life, and that was the end of it. A few months later, I was visiting my parents and mentioned to my dad that Chris had contacted me. My dad basically advised me to avoid contact with him because he was into drugs and crime. I thought that was sad news to hear, and we moved on to a new topic, and I didn't really think about Chris again at all. And then several months later, I was sitting in a Bible study here, and the author was speaking about the story of the prodigal son. As I was listening, Chris popped into my head, and I felt God pressing on me, saying, "Chris is the prodigal son. Chris is the prodigal son," over and over. "I need you to tell him that I want a relationship with him." It kept repeating in my thoughts throughout the whole video. This was not something I had really experienced before, and with my reserved Catholic upbringing still strong in my bones, I'm like, "No way, that's weird. I hardly know him. I haven't seen him for 20 years. And you want me to tell him you're pursuing him? No, thank you." I know we're called to be obedient to God the first time he asks us, but I was not. The Lord kept putting Chris on my heart over and over in the following months. pressing on me that he wanted to pursue a relationship with Chris, and he wanted to do it through me. God began to tell me that he wanted me to pursue Chris by not only sending him a Bible, but by highlighting some verses and also writing in it. I don't go around giving people Bibles, especially men I don't really know and haven't spoken to since high school. But the Lord was not going to give up on Chris or me because he knew who Chris was meant to be, even when I had no idea. Eventually, I asked Ann for a Bible that I could give to him. I wish I could say I was obedient then and immediately delivered the Bible, but I was not. I felt I needed to add a personal letter so that when Chris found a random Bible in his mailbox, he would actually look at it. So I spent the next few months doing all kinds of things to avoid writing the letter that I felt should go with it. I bargained with God repeatedly, putting him off, saying, if you just give me an extra hour here or there, I will write the letter. And every time he did give me that extra hour, and I chose to do something else instead. Then came the time when I had a trip planned and was going by my parents' home, which would pass me by the place where I was guessing Chris might live. I didn't really know. My dad had kind of mentioned he lived somewhere near where my parents lived, but I didn't know where specifically. I'd put off writing the letter, so again, I was not going to deliver the Bible. And then I got the two-minute warning text from my friend that she was about to pick me up when my then three-year-old walked into my room carrying the Bible, which had been sitting on a table in our home for over a month, and nobody noticed it or touched it or anything. So he walks in carrying the Bible, hands it to me, and says, Mama, do you need this? After I recovered from my mini heart attack, I said to God, okay, I will do it. We were at a retreat for the weekend, and I ended up writing a 5-page, basically, testimony letter to go with the Bible, and I explained how God had used people in my life to pursue a relationship with me, and how he was now using me to pursue a relationship with Chris. Wrong page. I then put the letter and the Bible in a mailbox that I was hoping belonged to Chris. I wasn't sure at all, but I trusted that the Lord was doing something through me and that whoever got that letter and Bible was supposed to. I did nothing to find out if Chris got the Bible, and he did not reach out to me at all either. I heard at some point that he was arrested, but I didn't know anything else. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, over 4 years after I delivered the Bible, Chris messaged me on Facebook. His message thanked me for being obedient to the Lord and giving him that Bible years ago. He said that he had been doing drugs and living a life of crime. He said that receiving that Bible and letter changed his life and brought him back to God. He realized he was not living his life the right way, entered Teen Challenge, and got clean. During that time, he discovered he had leukemia. On top of that, he got very sick again and had his appendix taken out. He said that if he had not gotten clean when he did, he would have died. He ended his letter by saying that he's now going to ministry school, and that if I ever needed prayer or anything of the sort, he would love to help. I'm so thankful that the Lord's timing is perfect and that he's allowed me to be part of his works. Every time I've opened myself up to him and answered him with a yes, I have been blessed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. So just a couple of highlights. One is, God loves those who are far from him. I mean, he would not give up on getting to Chris. And there's all sorts of Chris's out there. And the other thing is, God loves his children. Those of us who've accepted Jesus as our Savior, and he wants to work in and through us, one person at a time. And I think what happens is we don't believe it. You know, we leave it up to the professionals or other people with, they're more extroverted. As you can see, Amber is not, I mean, wonderful, but you're not that light, you know, like she's not that extroverted person, and God's using her that way. And that's what he'll do. He'll make you uncomfortable And that's something I want to share. He will make you uncomfortable. And I am way too comfortable in this whole thing called life with Jesus. Because here's the deal right here. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, peace be to you and blessings to you. Blessings to you. That's what we have to. That's what Jesus said. Blessing. And that's all what she was doing. That's all she was doing. Can we do this? But here's the deal. Going through an open door does not mean God will make my life easy, but it will be rewarding. You believe that? And so here's the deal. At River of Life, we have an opportunity ahead of us that I'm so excited about. And what is it? Reaching one person at a time, but we need the whole church. We need the whole church to be on board. God's doing amazing things at this church. Has anyone here been to the Otsego campus? Yeah, just maybe 10 of us. I've been there twice in the last month. And you and Otsego, you new people, I don't want to miss any names, so I'll just say collectively, great meeting you. You're part of our family. I love that you're with us. And there's a trickle effect going on in Otsego. Why did we put a satellite in Otsego? Because God has called us to reach people and join our family. This is what we are about as a church, but we're getting way, way too comfortable. And so I had to kind of lead this. And so what are Ann and I doing as a part of this? And I'm not asking you to do this, but I voluntarily asked the overseers with my wife in agreement to cut our salary by 20%. Now, why would I? Don't feel sorry for me. I'm excited, and I'm not on drugs. Why am I excited? Because I want, you know what I want to, my wife and I want to kind of pound down in us greediness and being comfortable. I've been here for 25 years. I have a very comfortable life. And the other thing is, God said, I want you to continue investing into this church, the 15% that he's called us to, and outside of that, we do 5, 6% outside of that to other missionaries. Why? To sow generosity into this space. And I'm excited. So what I'm asking, will you consider investing your time? That's the most important thing. You can't buy time. You know what you do with your time says everything. Are you with me on this? Come on now, church. Invest your time and your talents and your treasures and pursue God's vision. God's vision that he's given us to reach one person at a time. Our next huge opportunity for this to happen is the Feed My Starving Children. Are you kidding me? 180,000 meals? We can't do that. There's not enough of us. But if we grab people, I mean, this is an easy one. Who doesn't want to help feed starving children? Say, hey, come over, and it's going to be at the Otsego campus, Friday night, Saturday. I mean, bring one to feed one. I mentioned that to someone this morning. They said, well, bring 10 to feed one. Okay, and that's our next great opportunity right there. A few years ago when I was in college, maybe too many years ago, one of my roommates, his name was John. I called him John Boy. He didn't mind it, but I called him John Boy. And John Boy lived in Massachusetts, and he loved God. And he said, hey, I want to take you to Massachusetts, my hometown. We had an extended weekend. I said, sure. So he took me to Massachusetts. It was really fun. But then he took me to Nanatuck Island. Have you ever been to Nanatuck Island off Massachusetts? In this island, it's where a lot of ships, especially in the 1800s and early 1900s, would go down, especially at night because of the rocks and this and that and really foggy. And he showed me this plaque and this picture of this volunteer team. They call themselves the Save and Rescue Team. That put a lot of hard work into saving and rescuing those ships that would go down. And they would build these huts, And they would have boats underneath them. They would have fires going all night. They would have provisions like blankets and food. And their motto was, we have to go out, but we don't have to come back. I mean, that's okay. You understand what I just said? Okay, got it, church. And so we have to go out, but we don't have to come back. And then all of a sudden, the professionals came in. And the professionals came and said, we will handle this. We're called the Coast Guard. We will take over. And so then the mantra went from, you know, we have to go up, but we don't have to come back, because they will do it. They will do it. But they found that they had to continue to meet because they liked the community. But they kind of got soft, and they didn't have the cutting edge. And the only excitement was talking about the good old days when they were in the rescue and save mode. But they were getting stale, and they were getting overweight, and they were, you know, they were just whatever. It's just all about the past. And then they turned into a yacht club. It's a yacht club now. Well, I just want to stand in front of you as senior pastor of this church and say, River of Life is not a yacht club. Okay? We are not a yacht club. We're into search and rescue. And we are not strong enough to do this on our own. We need God, the Spirit of God, to invade us and change us and make us uncomfortable and walk through that door that He opens where we give care and passion to those far from God, one person at a time. Can we do this? We can do this. I got one more passage to share with you. It's back in Revelation 3, because you can't make this up. I didn't write the Bible. I just like to teach it. But we have this door theme in Revelation 3 with the church at Philadelphia. Then we have this door theme with the church of Laodicea, just the next church talked about in Revelation chapter 3. And Laodicea is a church that is unlike the church of Philadelphia. They were apathetic. In fact, they were known as lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were just kind of lukewarm. They were real comfortable. And Jesus says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I was thinking about a visual for that, but I don't want to make anyone throw up. I mean, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And then Jesus, but here's Jesus. Here's what he does. Here's the patience of God. Right after he says that, this is the verse. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Most people apply this verse to helping someone receive Jesus as their Savior. It can be used for that. But this verse is for the church, okay? This verse is for us. And when I read this, here I am. I stand at the door of Dave's heart and knock. Jesus, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And my wife and I are on our knees because we were comfortable. We, as your senior pastor, I was comfortable. And so we made a choice to make our lives uncomfortable, and I'm so excited about the opportunity and to sow generosity wherever we go and to watch God work. And this is an opportunity for you, and a number of you are already showing and displaying by your serving and your giving your time and your gifts and your money, and you're already there, and maybe you can give more. Because we can't ever outgive God. But I'm talking about those of you who haven't had the opportunity to join us. Because if you all decide to join us, that door, I think it's open like eat like that. I think it's gonna go eat, and no one can shut it. And then we will come here as a church to not only discover Jesus and who he is, we'll do it all week. We'll come here at church and hear testimony after testimony after testimony of people sharing Christ and people getting saved, and we'll have baptism after baptism after baptism, and we'll say to ourselves, I am so wrecked by this. God is so great. I can't believe he uses even us, one person at a time. And I can't manipulate this. I'm just going to talk to you. I can't make you do this. I can't, you know, I'm excited with what God's doing. My wife and I with us in this church, we're very excited. But the bottom line is, you have to get alone with God. You hear me now? You hear me? He's knocking on your heart, each one of us, and you have to get alone with God and ask him, what's my part in this? And if God's speaking to you, it's going to be uncomfortable. It always is. Because we want to do stuff that only God can do. But ask God, what's my part in this? And then join the vision, God's vision, of reaching people far from God and helping them find and follow Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're broke in front of you, Lord. We're humbled in front of you, but yet I anticipate great and mighty things. You've called us to great and mighty things. I pray for us as a church that we will get a hold of who you are and your love and your grace and your truth. And may we be wrecked by who you are, Lord, and allow you in our lives and to be stretched by you. I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you. May they've heard a little bit of a talk, like an inside talk here to our family of what you've called us to. May they join us today. May they find you new and afresh today and just invite you into their life just as they are and begin to follow you, Lord. Invite them into this space. But may each one of us respond to you in who you are. And may we not be comfortable. May we have an urgency about us. Because people are dying and heading to a crisis eternity. May we be the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.